Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are in this world. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is Phil Armstrong. We'll be talking about the Middle East, the economic situation in the United States and abroad and Europe. We're also going to be talking about earthquakes and pestilence and all this stuff that's pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. Blow your trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in mighty mountains, holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the dead of the Lord coming. We are the watchmen on the wall, sitting here, warning America of the impending judgment that is soon coming upon this world. Is this good news that judgment is coming upon the world? Should people handle it as bad news? Is it so bad that heaven is waiting for those who will accept it, and hell is waiting for those who will not accept heaven? Is it so bad that Jesus provided a way out for mankind to go towards the cross, to go over the cross, and to get to the Father? Is it so bad? Well, a lot of people today do not think that Jesus Christ's coming is good. Now, in the third back of their forehead, the back of their conscious mind, they might say, oh yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. We gotta be ready at all times. But really, they want to hold on to this world. Is this world really worth hanging on to? I mean, it's cursed. Even the prettiest scene, even the prettiest ocean view is cursed. And not only that, men and women get sick. Ain't you sick and tired of getting sick? Men and women die. We go to the funeral, we mourn and we cry, and we move on with life, and then somebody else dies, and then we keep moving on with life, and people get married, and people do various things. And we seem to not understand that heaven is good, heaven is wonderful, heaven is something to look forward to, not to despise. Today is a day that we need to really stand still and look at the climate of the Middle East, because the Middle East is screaming World War III. And it's not really streaming to a point where CNN and MSNBC and Fox is going to show you that we're headed to war. Oh, they don't want you to know that, because it's order out of chaos. And see, they want to give you a shock and awe treatment. And what happens is when war starts out of nowhere, then it's a shock to you at that time. So they don't want you to be ready for it. They want you to be shocked, so you would scream for their new world order when it comes. There is a time that is coming upon the earth that is verily fast approaching, where men and women will be looking for an escape mechanism in the tribulation period. And they will not get it because they have waited too late. So Jesus had warned in Luke 21 that do not be tied up with the cares of this life, that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. Or that day should overtake you with rioting and surfacing and doing daily business. The Bible says in Matthew 24, just in the days of Noah, men were eating and drinking and giving in marriage when Noah went into the ark and shut the door. Lot was also taken out of the city simultaneously as events start to unroll upon the earth, or upon Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's case. But there's coming a time where the Christians who so-called Christians who say, well, Jesus is always supposed to be coming back, but we don't know when he's coming back. For those individuals to wake up and smell the coffee, and they're not going to have any choice. Because what as I read the Word of God, I come to find that it's not going to be just a rapture out of thin air. What I mean by that is that the rapture of the church just all of a sudden just come on a day when the birds are singing and the sunshine is out and nothing's happening across the global scope of the landscape of the global climate. Nothing's happening. It's not going to be like that. Things are going to be happening. It's going to be obvious. To most people, it's going to be obvious. To most Christians, it's going to be obvious, those who are ready. For those who are not ready, it's not going to be so obvious. Jesus said, watch and pray. In verse 34 of chapter 21 in Luke, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfacing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So it's coming a time where men will have to understand and be able to read the sky and to see that it is fair weather or not fair weather. If a storm is coming or not, per se, spiritually, they're going to have to see the end times coming. Because if they don't see it, they're going to be caught unaware, and they're going to have to go through the tribulation period. And I don't think nobody wants to go through the tribulation period. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Okay, we're back. That is a website that I would hope for people to go look at and take a look at. Don't let the name scare you. It's actually an awesome website that you may want to take a look at.
With God help, we'll get the word out at this ministry. God has given us signals in our world and in our stratosphere that he will be coming back soon. It says in Colossians, do not let anybody be naggy for your new moons and your feast, because God is, he said personally in Leviticus chapter 23 that those feasts are his feasts. He said that those feasts belong to him. And if that is the case, then those feasts are still to be observed, maybe not by the church, but by Israel. Those feasts are appointed time, because if you look at the first four feasts, those feasts pertain to God's first coming, Jesus' first coming to the earth. And we have Pentecost, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Those pertain to his first coming. The next three, Tabernacle, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, are in resemblance to his, or mirror effect to his second coming. And when he comes back, those feasts will play a role. Now, do we know what day and hour Jesus is coming back? No. But let's first look at the generation. The generation is a 70-year generation. If you read Psalms 90, it gives you a generation. And the generation, the Bible says, is 70 years. And if you get lucky, or blessed, in this case for Christians, blessed, lucky for the world, you'll be able to live another 10, which would take you to 80. Now, I'm going to read Psalms 90 for you. Psalms 90 goes, and it reads, it says, I have to make sure I'm in the right spot. Okay, it says in verse 10, the day of our years are 70 years, which is 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The generation here says 70 years, which is 70 years. And that is counting for an individual human being. See, a lot of people say, well, it could be a 100-year generation. Well, how many 100-year people, how many 100-year-old people you see walking around? Now, there's no scripture like this for any 100-year generation at all. You can pull 80 out of this, but you can't pull 100 years out of this scripture by itself. So this is defining the time. Now, in 1948, Israel became a nation again. And if from 1948 of May to 2018 of May, that is 70 years exactly. That would place the tribulation period starting in 2010 rather than 2011. The tribulation period has to start in the fall because of the fall feast. The fall feast is God's appointed time. This now, here's my interpretation. Now, I'm going to talk about what is my interpretation. I believe that 2010 is the time that God spoke about in his word. And 2010 to 2017 will complete the last 7-year tribulation period. You say you're going to be blunt and say it? Yeah, I'm going to be blunt and say it. I don't have a large following, but I'm going to be blunt and say I'm almost convinced that we are in the last months of the church age. Now, I could be wrong and it could go one more year, but I think we're there. And you're going to see proof that I'm right pretty soon. For those who are tied up into this world and loving this world's gifts and loving this world, what the prosperity preachers can do for you, what you can do for me, prosperity preachers, I can do for you by sending you a check through the mail and having it come to you. With, and you send me back some hot oil and a letter and so I can spray it upon my house and bless my house and get $1 million in 5 minutes. That type of blessing. I don't think I want that type of blessing. I'd rather for immediate translation up into heaven, in the blink of an eye, I'll be looking at Jesus. The Bible says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. I'll draw you unto myself. He says, we should not all sleep, but we should be changed. The Bible also says we should be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, what is this last trump? When Rosh Hashanah, there's a series of trumpet blasts. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event. And it is known as the holiday that no man knows the hour. And there's two witnesses that have to show up to confirm it in the Sanhedrin that this is the time that was spoken of by the prophets. And see, the prophets have spoken and declared it, that this is the time. They said, what are you talking about? Well, when Jesus was... Now, let's look at the day and hour thing. No one knows the day and hour. If the Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event, and... We already have, like, I'm right here in Spokane. My next guest is from Florida, Susan Pozio. She's from Florida. We don't have the same time, so we have to correlate different times. So I have to tell her, well, the show will start at 8, call in at 8:30, or do this. I have to tell her that, but I have to illustrate that it's her time will be 11 or 11:30 when she calls in. Well, a day and hour to me is different from a day and hour to her, because on the East Coast it gets it. Like my mom still stays in Pontiac, in Michigan, actually, St. Clair, Michigan, and a day to her, tomorrow can be today for me. So I also have buddies in the military; they're overseas. Now, that definitely can be a day different. So no man knows the day and hour. So Saturday for me can be Friday for you, you know, whoever's listening. So you don't know what day and hour Jesus is coming, but that does not take away. He says, my Father only knows. And that he is trying to point to the Jewish people who will be there in times of Jacob's trouble, that he prophesied that I will come back on a declared observance day, because Jesus was raised from the dead on first fruits. The church was created on Pentecost. Jesus hung on the cross on Passover, and he ate the Last Supper on unleavened bread. So the observance day that Jesus will come back on is a two-day event, which is Rosh Hashanah. That's why he said, no man knows the day and hour. Now, do we know what day and hour? No, because a day... an hour is different for me than it is for you. But does the church need to know this? Well, I would say this. It is like one of the parables that Jesus was giving back in the day. if he is saying, well, it's for, he would tell the disciples, this parable is for those who want to see. And truly, God does not want everybody in the church to see it, because we will party like it's 1999 until that time comes. But for me, I am preaching this and telling you right now to get ready. For those who are watching, get ready. You can go outside your front door and hear the birds singing right now. So you know if the things take off, like I say, you know that I knew something. I was a little bit ahead of the game, at least. I'm not a prophet, but I'm a watchman. I consider myself a watchman on the wall. And I am proud to say that I'm a watchman. I'll never try to be a prophet. That's scary. That is truly scary. Now, the president of Russia went over to meet with the Syrian president. Now, keep in mind, back a couple of months ago, about 2 months ago, the president of Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah all met. And if you read Psalms chapter 2, it talks about men getting together and trying to come up with a plan to destroy Israel. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Confusion. The Lord shall have them in confusion. They are very angry with Israel for just anything. Now the Bush, the Clinton, dang, I'm going through all the presidents. I like my grandma calling 5-10 different names. But the Obama administration has turned their back on Israel. As a nation, we have not, as citizens, turned our back on Israel yet. But I'm pretty sure in the next couple months we will do that. Now, let me give you my quick scenario of my interpretation of the Word of God. I believe Psalms 83, which is a war between Israel's bordering nations, which is Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, possibly Egypt, because these nations are not named in the book of Ezekiel. These nations will come up against Israel, like I just read in Psalms chapter 2. These nations will fight Israel, but I think it will start off with Hezbollah and Hamas, and it will full filter over to Syria. Israel will nuke Damascus. If you want to read Isaiah 17, it talks about Damascus being a riverless heap. The president of Syria said in a newspaper article that the next war will be ruinous. What words? God has a sense of humor. You see, he was laughing at him in Psalms chapter 2. I'm not laughing, and God is not laughing either as far as Syrian people dying. But he is laughing at those who think that they can put their fist up at God, like President Obama and some of these other politicians who don't care anything about God. They just want to put a God suit on until it's time to run for president, and then after that they take the suit off, and then blaspheming God in every walk of life that they do. Well, God is good, and we are a watchman on the wall. I will be having my show, The Common Salvation, where I would speak. I'll never speak positively, and I hate to use that word because it's more psychology or something, but I'll never be a positive person. I would always tell you the truth. You say, well, positive is telling you, yeah, you're right, you're right. Positive is telling you the truth. If your breath stinks, somebody's got to tell you. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. If somebody tells you to quit smoking and you love it and you enjoy it, somebody hurt your feelings and tell you you drink too much. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't have been doing that anything, but I'm making an illustration that God wants us to come into the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the last days, man will have a form of godliness, but deny its power, the power thereof, the power to deliver man from sin. See, what we do is we like to dabble in sin. We like to take a bath in it. And we don't want to get dried off and put into the right proper cleansing, which is the word of God. We want to dabble in sin. The Bible says prayerless time should come. A man will be lovers of himself. That includes those in the church. Money, money, money. And then when you're done, more money. The people in the church that are covetous and have the wrong heart. And I'm talking to a lot of people out there probably. What's wrong with having things? Well, if the things have you, that's a big problem. Now, if you have the things and you're not holding too tight to them, because God is going to come back, folks. And I mean this physically and I mean it literally. If you're holding on to stuff, if you're holding on to that boyfriend or that future boyfriend, or you're holding on to that car, you're holding on to that college degree, nothing's wrong with those things. But do they have you or do you have them? I mean, could you dispose them? Could you cut that boyfriend off? Could you sell that car? If God told you to sell all and follow me, I mean, could you do it or not? To be or not to be, that is the question. I don't have anybody in the chat room. The chat room is mostly just test and see if people can hear me. I keep a close eye on the chat room. I really don't believe in chat rooms as much. a lot of my shows are going to be taped in the future. This is live, though, because I can actually read the person, guest 751, so... it's live, but I don't have a lot of people in the chat room. I don't claim to try to. Well, this show will be aired on World Harvest Radio. I kind of have bad habits right now as far as my audience, because I'm so catered to Blog Talk Radio that I sort of forget that I'm going to be using this for other radio stations. But if you enjoy the show, please help us out and send a donation out in the continental United States and North America. Also, my website is The Prophecy Zone Radio blog. Let me start over. www.theprophecyzoneradio.blogspot.com. You'll check that out and see if you like it. And I'm also going to be having other radio websites that will be available soon. God is going to be shaking up things amongst Christian believers. He's going to be shaking up things amongst those who are following him. He's going to be giving you barking orders in these last couple of months that we have here. And yes, I have decided to be very blunt, because I've always believed 2010 to be the time. There is a sign in the sky. It's called the time of off, which is when Israel lost two of its temples. World War One started. Many things happen on the times of off. This year, it's on July 19th and 20th. Those probably the times where we need to really pray for the nation of Israel, pray for the world. June will probably be a launching time for war to start, Israel to launch a attack. Probably before that, it could be Hezbollah or Hamas coming into Israel. Hamas has 42,000 rockets ready, aiming and firing. And also North Korea is supplying these countries. If you like the show, if you want to listen to the full 3-hour show, we're going to be starting that next week, the 22nd of May at 7 o'clock Eastern time. But you can also look at the archives or listen to the archives. God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful day. If you're in the chat room, stay tuned. We're going to be coming on the other side. God bless. We're going to be doing another show, so please feel free to stick around. It's going to be a guest on, so please feel free to stick around.
Of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for his church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, 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 America. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is Phil Armstrong, and we're going to be doing an interview with Susan Polio from Prophetic News. And that's coming up in just a short time. The fig tree is putting forth its leaves and is ready to blossom. Folks, I'm going to be warning y'all in the next couple of shows that we are, I just made a decision to just go ahead and say it and just put myself out there. There's a lot of people who have put themselves out there before and gotten messed up for it. But I'm pretty much convinced after further ado, the play stands. If you watch football and they watch the rewinding of the play, and you see that the receiver had its foot in bounds and it's a touchdown. Well, I've done further review over and over again, soul search. And as a watchman on the Raw, Ezekiel 33, Watchman on the Wall. I have to tell y'all that we are fast approaching some events that will take place in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to tell y'all that for those who believe that there is a rapture, you might want to make sure the oil is in your lamp, because the bridegroom is coming back pretty quick. And you guys are going to be able to test and see. You guys are going to be able to test what I'm saying. I'm not a prophet, but you're going to be able to test. I'm going to lose a lot of credibility. I don't really, God has put this on my heart a long time ago to just say it. There's many reasons why I believe 2010. I've always did that. I tried to push it to 2011 or 12, 13 or 14, but it doesn't work. The mathematics don't work. The things that are happening don't work. The forecasters, the preachers, these people, I've looked at the most credible people like Gerald Celente of International Forecaster, Bob Chapman, Alex Jones, even great people like Ron Paul, who believe that a lot of these guys believe that we are headed for World War III. And that's not where I got it from, because I was saying this stuff. If you go back and listen to my show last year, I was saying this stuff before that. Actually, I was saying this stuff a long back in 2008. Well, actually, I was saying longer than that. But I come to a consensus after receiving a book from a guy that I had on my show. Dan Mattson, and he was one of the reasons why I was convinced that we're there. And then reading the news, I mean, the Middle East is a powder keg ready to explode. We even got North Korea supplying Hamas and Hezbollah rockets. Right there in foresight, right there in sight for everybody to see. So Syria is also said to be in charge of Hamas, sort of, as a swing-attached political head of Hezbollah. Of course, Hezbollah has its own leaders, but... folks, it's about to explode, and like I said, the blessed hope is not the appearance of the Antichrist. The blessed hope is the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am so sick and tired of people, but I'm sick and tired of people saying that there's no rapture. As I read the Word of God, I'm more convinced more and more. People say, well, you've been listening to these old lies for so long. Well, it's to me, if I'm in a burning building and you come in there and the police officer, because what they say is the people who believe in the rapture believe that it's an escape mechanism. Well, it's like coming into a burning building and trying to get me out, and I tell you, no, it's an escape mechanism. Leave me in here. Let the building burn. Well, it's the same thing as being in a car wreck. Well, we got to get the seatbelt off you. So, no, leave the seatbelt on. I mean, it's an escape mechanism. Just get out of here and let the car explode on me in here. Well, of course, there are probably some people who feel that way because life is terrible. But trust me, most people are going to want to get out. And the Bible says in Luke 21, I read it for you. He says in Luke 21, verse 36, he says, "Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." What does that mean? Well, anyway, I got to bring my guest on. I'd like to welcome wonderful guest. I've been listening to her show for quite a while. She's going to be helping me host this show also. I just enjoy her company as far as being on the show. And also we kind of think alike in terms of spiritual matters. But anyway, without further ado, I'd like to bring on Susan. Hello, Susan. How you doing?
Hi, Phil. Hallelujah.
praise God. Praise God. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Today. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. We want to go ahead and talk about I want to talk about your last show.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
I was doing a program on scripture twisting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have part two on today at 1 p.m., so if people want to tune into that. But I wanted to use my theme scripture here is okay. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Yeah.
So we see so much of it. It's just become what I like to say, an abomination. If you watch Christian television, they call it Christian, but most of it has nothing to do with Christianity. Flipping through the channels the other night, and almost every single so-called Christian station, they were all doing the same thing. Send me your money, and God will bless you.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is why the world, this is one of the reasons the world is so turned off by the church, because they see that we've sold ourselves out the same way they have.
Yes.
And I see Morris Cirillo, and he's saying, the Holy Spirit is telling me right now there's 30 people, and you have to run to your phone and send me your money. And, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't even talk like that.
Yeah.
It's like, where in the Bible did the Holy Spirit ever say, run to your phone right now and send me your money, and I have a tremendous blessing for you?
Nah. Never.
Never. Never. And so you see that this scripture here, it says, well, how do they get away with scripture twisting? Because they deceive the hearts of the simple. And it's because we have not read our Bibles. We're not studying to show ourselves approved. So these people are getting away with it, and they're continuing to con people.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank God for Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for programs like your program. And there's some great people on YouTube, too, that they said, okay, enough is enough. And we're tired of this. We want to see a stop to it. The world is collapsing around us. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see the earthquakes. We see the oil spill. We see floods. And yet the church is not there. You know, we're still, we have an underground, kind of an underground church. Well, you know, God's bringing us forward, and he's allowing us to have a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So
In Revelations, when Jesus was talking to the two different churches of the last days, he's talking to the church of Philadelphia, and he said that he sort of established the fact that they needed Jesus. Is you weak and you need my power. He didn't say that. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But and as far as Laodicea, he said, you're rich and you need of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and you've reaped up treasures for the last days. And a lot of people didn't think that he's talking to probably the men who really run the world, which he probably is. But he's also talking to normal churchgoers. Because the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge, and that's also distorted knowledge.
Distorted knowledge.
Yeah, so when gullible people listen to these men and women who say, send me $50 or send me $100 and we'll send you this oil and you can spread it on your, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, anointing spray or something, and they give in to it because they don't, like you say, pick up their Bibles, and that is important to know the devil's devices and what he's doing and what he's trying to do, because without Bible reading we won't know if the Holy Spirit doesn't like it or dislike, we won't know.
That's it.
You know, until we read that word. So.
Well, also, people say, well, don't name names and don't. Well, the Bible says to mark them.
Yeah.
The Bible says that those that sin rebuke before all. So there's many scriptures that say to expose false prophets, to stand up for sound doctrine. And, for instance, if we look at Titus, and is talking about people that are telling you things for filthy lucre's sake. If you look at Titus chapter 1, it says that for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So we rebuke them sharply. We hope they turn from their wicked ways and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because who's ever listening out there, you don't have to pay God for any kind of blessing. No, you don't have to do that. We give money to each other to bless each other because we love people. We want to help people, but God doesn't need your money because he doesn't have any money in heaven. There's no money that he's going to rain down from the sky.
And they probably, a lot of people out there probably say, where are you judging? You're judging. Well, I looked at Matthew chapter 7, and I was looking at that a couple of days ago. Actually, I've kind of figured this out a while back, but I really kind of looked into it. And it's funny because a lot of times when they're saying, well, you shouldn't judge, it says in the Bible, it says you, they kind of stop before they can get far enough to have it explained.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like when Jesus was taken up to be tempted by the devil, that the devil twisted the words of God.
Yeah.
And it says in Matthew 24, verse 7, if I can get there. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Matthew 24? Matthew chapter 7. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it talks about judging. And it says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Now, if you stop there, if you just stop there and you don't go any further, you would assume that God is saying, don't make a judgment.
Yeah.
You shouldn't judge it. You know, you can go ahead and do what you want to do. Go sleep with somebody else besides your wife. Go have sex with another man if you're a man. Go steal. Go cheat. Go lie. But, and nobody should say anything against you. That's what it's saying. And then if you read, it says, and if you go any further, in verse 3, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy own brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? And then that's telling you that you need to look at yourself first.
Yeah.
It says, oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye first, and then you should be able to see clearly to get the beam, the mote out of your brother's eye.
Yeah.
So what it is that if we come on here and we always clean up after we sort me and Susan, we usually clean up after we get them. I mean, like if we say something against somebody, we normally clean it up. But
yeah.
At the same time, these guys, now if we decide we want to condemn them to hell, that's a different story.
Yeah.
That's what we're not doing here. We're making a judgment, a righteous judgment.
Righteous judgment.
Yeah, these guys against the word of God. They're
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're against the word of God. I see that. I see something there too. So it says, what I'm seeing about that scripture about the judging too is okay. Then you don't do it, but then make sure they don't do it. So you can see clearly to cast out the mote that's in their eye. So like if we were doing the same thing, saying, okay, send me your seed faith gift of $100 for the seven blessings of the Mark of the Covenant, Ark of the Covenant, or whatever, well, then we wouldn't have any right to talk about that. But if you're truly, you know, trusting God and you're not trying to manipulate people, and then, yes, of course, we can make judgments. We have to make judgments. We make judgments every day.
Yes, indeed.
And so, I mean, God gave us a brain. He didn't say turn off your brain. and follow, follow someone like Hitler or when the Antichrist shows up, don't make a judgment, just follow anybody, do anything. It's just ridiculous because a lot of these people that are doing these things to bring a reproach to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they count on you being, ignorant of God's word. And so that's how they get away with it. Well, there's no getting around that. If you work, you're going to eat. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. You're supposed to take care of your family.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to pay your bills and try to live within your means. Most of us don't do that, and so that's how we get into financial trouble.
Yeah.
And then we're looking for some TV preacher to send money to so, God can get us out of it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a tither, when I was going to church and tithing and I was doing all those things that I thought I was supposed to be doing, otherwise God was going to be mad at me and curse me. But then I realized all that was wrong. It wasn't faith. It wasn't trusting God to take care of me. I was trying to bribe him or pay him off. And even if you take a survey in the churches and you ask people, okay, raise your hand, how many of you have been tithing and sowing seeds and doing all this, and how many of you are really out of debt? Well, I don't know how many people you'd get.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that many people that would say, yeah, okay, this thing is working. We know that the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So we seek first God's kingdom. First of all, we follow the royal law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of us like for people to do things for us because they want something. I mean, who likes that? Nobody likes that. God doesn't like that either. And so, but that's what these people are teaching, is that they're teaching you to do something to get something, and it's created incredible selfishness in the body of Christ. We go to church and we have people coming to church that have tremendous needs. They're in foreclosure. They don't have a car to get to work. They can't feed their kids. Maybe they can't heat their homes. And meanwhile, we're not meeting the needs of our own in the churches. And the pastor's telling you, give me 10% and I'm going to build a bigger building. I'm going to buy myself a mansion and I'm going to drive a Rolls Royce. And it's just gotten too out of hand. So I want to see some changes.
Yeah, or we're going to have a jet that we need to get from one place to the next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's so ridiculous because I traveled, I took over 30 missionary trips overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I never once asked for an offering. I never once asked for a plane ticket. I never once asked for anybody to pay me anything. I did it, and God made the way. And I realized, okay, yeah, well, it's nice to have a $5 million jet or a $10 million jet, but you would have to buy airplane tickets for hundreds of years to pay for that jet to really justify the fact that you needed it. And also, it's just like a Bless Me Club. Okay, they have ministers of the gospel in all these countries. In every country I went to, they had people there that were Christians that could preach the gospel just fine. They didn't need you to come over there and on your $5 million, $10 million jet and preach the gospel when we could have maybe been helping the missionaries in foreign countries to preach. So they justified, okay, I need this jet to get around, but they need it to go from meeting to meeting, and they're all in the same club, and it's just, I go here and you give me an offering, and then you let me come to your church and I get an offering. So
yeah.
I want to see all that end. I want to see it all end. You
yeah.
can't justify having a $10 million jet.
Yeah, some people say pretty expensive toilets do a toilet seat also. But do I have you for another 30 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
We are back. We're going to be coming to y'all with this episode on May 22nd at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on World Harvest Radio. So just go and they don't have any archives, but we still, if we finally get our website out there to the general public, I decided to use a blog first and then beat up on my other one until it's completed and possibly be completed before the end of the week. But God is good. He is really good. We're going to have Susan back on the other line. So if you're in the chat room, just welcome. You're welcome to stay on for another show. God bless everybody out there. We would love to hear from y'all. So if you can, just write into World Harvest Radio and send us a letter telling that you heard us and pray for us. That we can continue to preach the word of God through to the end of the age. And that is exactly what Jesus asked us to do, is to preach the gospel to the end of the age. Susan, I'd like to thank you for coming on. We're going to be coming on the other side in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless.
and the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
This is Phil Armstrong coming to y'all live from Spokane, Washington. We are in a nice, pleasant, spring-like slash summer-like weather here. God is good to give us a time that we can come out of the house and actually breathe fresh air and breathe cool, breezy air without... wanting to go back in the house. The Bible talks about a straight, narrow way to enter into heaven. In this ministry, we want to point out the fact that we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. He died on the cross for our sins. But like I was telling the kid yesterday at the shelter, I go down and talk to people about Jesus. And I was telling them that because he wanted to join the Army, and I gave him an illustration out of the Army because my wife and everybody else says I'm an illustrator. I like to give sort of like parables of real things. But I was telling them about a drill sergeant and the platoon. And you have to have a relationship with the platoon and the drill sergeant in order to function in the military. Well, and also the rest of the chain of command, including the President of the United States, but you don't have to have an indirect relationship with the President of the United States. But the policies that the president has is circulated through the organization that you're in. But anyway, personal relationship with that organization is important, but a personal relationship with the direct boss is more just as important. But if you're going to live for Christ, you have to live for Him daily. That's why Jesus said to pick up His cross and follow Him daily. To hear that trumpet sound, regardless if you're post, pre, or mid-trib, in order to hear that trumpet sound, you have to be ready. You have to have that oil in your lamp that was talked about in Matthew 25. And also you have to be a person who is being used by the Lord. You say, is that a requirement? No, not necessarily. It is a outward sign. The illustration I'm about to use is probably a terrible illustration, but when you have a cold, you cough. So people say, well, that's a terrible, it probably is a terrible illustration, but what's in you is going to come out. So faith without works is dead. Paul said, show me your works, and I'll show you my faith through my works. That is the way you show your wife you love her, is by paying the bills and also giving her a kiss and giving her some flowers. My older son forgot to give my wife Mother's Day present, but he didn't mean to. He just kind of, you know, he's 14. But she can't use that one signal Oh, you don't love me. She has to use a multitude of them. And we come home and we have a multitude of days where we don't pay attention to God. He says in Psalms, oh, you wake up in the morning, you forgot me. That's deep. We forgot God. I'm going to tell you that it is a scary thing to fall in the arms of an angry God. I'm going to tell you that it is very sad to die in your sins and you can't come out of hell. Jesus said that Abraham had Lazarus at his bosom and the rich ruler was in hell. And he looked up and he's like, can you get Lazarus to give me some water and put it on my tongue? Because he said, we can't come to you. That is sad, folks. What's sad is 130-something people die, 100 people dying on the plane, and one kid survives. The Bible says narrow is the gate. So how many people you think? Well, you don't know. I'm not going to even ask that question. But you know what I'm going with this. I mean, that's sad. And if it's not sad to you, you really need to check your religion. You say, religion, that's a scary word. Well, yeah, it is. To me, it is. Check your relationship. No, check your religion. We just use it at that. You need to check yourself. Because folks, man, I mean, do y'all understand 3 equals MC squared? That number does not stop. Do you realize that when you get to hell, you're not going to get out forever and ever, ever, and forever, ever? I mean, you're not getting out. That's sad. I mean, for those who are out there and listening who don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, please ask him to help you. Ask him to save you. And he will. But you have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I commit myself to you. That's why Jesus said to the rich rulers. That's why he said to the disciples, come and follow me. That's why he said to the rich ruler, you're not going to cooperate because you got too much wealth. You got too much estate. My website is go to the blog. It's www.theprophecyzoneradio.blogspot.com. So go check that out. That's my website for right now. We're going to bring on our guest, Susan Pozio. She's from Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. We forgot to tell, we want to start off by having you, Susan, give all your information. She's on Blog Talk Radio, and she has an awesome show just revealing the truth and bringing out to focus those prophets that are false and those preachers who are putting out a false message in the Word of God, against the Word of God. So, Susan?
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise
anyway,
God.
You know, that's the most important thing, Phil, is we want to let people know that Jesus Christ does love them.
Yes.
And he does have people that do care about
yes.
people, and they're not out just to preach the gospel to get something, but that we know that Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us out of the pit, and he can take anybody's life and make something beautiful out of it. And
yes.
we consider it an honor and a privilege that God would allow us to quote his word and
yes.
to tell people about his goodness and his mercy. And, you know, in the book of Isaiah says, chapter 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.
Amen.
Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
Amen.
And we want to be of a contrite spirit, and to tremble at the word of God, and not to use it deceitfully and for our own gain, because Jesus Christ paid an awesome price to redeem mankind to himself. And we don't take that lightly. I want to thank God today that he gave me the opportunity to find Blog Talk Radio. And I was believing God to go on the radio, and I said, God, the only way I'm going to do it is if you do it miraculously, and he did. And so I have my program, Prophetic News. It's on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I also have my website, propheticnews.com. I was in the Word of Faith movement for many years. I had a television ministry for 2 years in Colorado, in Aspen, Colorado. It was also on in Denver on the public access networks there. I was on the 700 Club where my testimony was featured. I was on some of the local TVN stations as a guest, and a guest on many Christian television programs throughout the years, until I started speaking out against Seed Faith, and then I was banned, for lack of a better word. But I said, you know, I don't really care, because I don't care if I have another building to preach in or if I receive another offering. I'm going to tell the truth, and no matter what it costs, and Jesus Christ paid the price for me. So what is it to step back and to give up all that? It's just pride, really, because you're trying to build some kind of a ministry and some kind of a kingdom, and then it doesn't even resemble the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just wind up doing these things just to exalt ourselves. So I want to thank God that he took me down to bring me up, and I just want to let people know the truth that I found out, that we don't have to pay God for blessings. We don't have to give him 10% and then he curses us. We do things because we love, and that's God so loved the world that he gave, and that's the reason why we do things.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. This is so, so true. And the people out there, we're here to give you the word and let you know what's going on. We're not trying to take advantage of nobody out there, because if that was the case, I'd have been having my website up. I spent my wills. I think God is using Blog Talk Radio and a lot of people on there to give the word of God, and also YouTube is a strong, strong, very strong vehicle to get the word out. I like to tell everybody to go to and join my Christian video sharing site. It's called ZomegaTube.com, www.ZomegaTube.com. Just go there. I kind of left the half of it with the pictures and stuff empty, but go there and join. It's free. Just spread the word. We want to spread the word, because I went on there a couple of days ago because I had left it there for a while just so I can do some other things. And I went there, and there's people, some people joining me. So I was like, man, I might as well just get this up and go. And it's a Christian website. And it's practically seven members. So I'm hopefully to fill this thing up. But Susan, let's go and shift gears right quick, and let's talk about prophecy, the last days. We can also include false prophets in there, because I kind of want to have a slant going towards Matthew's 24. Matthew's 24 is awesome. The way I interpreted it is Jesus said one thing that really, he said a lot of things in Matthew 24 that stuck out, but to me, for this specific time, such as this, like in Esther, when he says this is the beginning of birth pains. Now, it's kind of funny because he's trying to point something out. And let me see. When he says this is the beginning of birth pains, there's a few. Actually, there's two things that stick out. He says all these are the beginning of sorrows. So if you stop, if you read before that, Jesus is answering a question to his disciples after looking at the temple. He said this temple is going to be destroyed pretty soon. But he said, you know, there should be false prophets and deceiving many, and there should be wars and rumors of wars, and there should be pestilence, earthquakes. But anyway, he had stopped down where after he says nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, he just stopped cold turkey and said these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, you can divide that up into two periods. The period before chapter verse 8 is the begin before the tribulation period starts, and verse 9 is when it starts going. And a lot of people believe that before the rapture of the church is just going to be peaches and cream. I mean, the birds are going to be singing and it's going to be a beautiful day outside. Well, I got news for you. Before the rapture of the church, within months, within weeks probably, because I'm not going to put us through the semi-small tribulation period, but before the tribulation period, there's going to be a lot of activity. It's going to be a whole lot of activity to the point where the world will say, we need a savior. We need somebody to just bring this thing back to normal. Going past chapter verse 8 in chapter 24 of Matthew's, you see that one thing also another thing sticks out is it says the love of many shall wax worse or wax cold. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer in John 14:15-16. The restraining influence is restraining evil. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, I didn't say taken off the earth, taken out of the way, it's going to... reverting back to time before that. So the wickedness can wax worse. The system on TV saying send me $20 and send me $30. So that is why the love of many the people shall depart from the faith. Because there's going to be so much demonic influence that it's even going to be in your house. See, nowadays the demonic influence is a lot of times outside of the house, because ain't every house in America a bad house. So you go outside and you sit in your living room and you're watching TBN or you're watching some other network that's giving you this garbage and you change the channel. So now the Holy Spirit is gone. Everywhere you go is going to be terrible. And you, the challenge is you're going to have to find God. And guess where the church is going to be? Underground. So it behooves us to look in the Bible ourselves so we won't be deceived up until the point where Jesus actually comes back and gets his people and takes them home.
Amen. Amen. That's the thing that what you're saying, see, Phil, is what people don't understand is the love of many will wax cold. And because what we're seeing the church represented on national television all over the world, it's the church that says, give me your money and God will bless you. Give me your money. And there's no love in that. And so it creates a selfish person. Yeah. And then we see that. We see that the church, then their love waxes cold. We don't have love for the poor, the needy, the person in the church that's losing their home. There shouldn't be one person sitting in any church, any Christian church, a real Christian church where people are really born again. There shouldn't be one person in that church that ever loses their home to foreclosure. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one person that should ever have their electric turned off. Okay, I mean, some people don't want to work and they don't want to do the right thing. But if people truly have needs and maybe they lost their job or they can't find a job, and we have to be there. We have to be, that love has to be so strong in us that we can see a need without even people telling us. And the church in the last days, the real church, is going to be very important for helping people to get through what we're going to be going through, what we are already going through. There was a news story this week that they are going to have to tear down. They're already planning to tear down 10% of the houses in Detroit. And eventually, they're going to totally raise these neighborhoods and flatten them out. Because there's so many abandoned houses in the city of Detroit and abandoned buildings that they have to tear them down because there's so much crime.
Yeah.
And so they're saying eventually maybe they're going to have to tear down about 30% of the houses that are empty and they're saying that they're going to probably have to turn the land into farmland.
Oh, man.
Which is probably not a bad thing because that'll be a way to be able to feed the people.
We
don't even imagine, you know, we're not even paying attention to what's going on. I mean, that's unheard of in the United States of America.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that a lot of people don't see anything coming. I mean, I walked around yesterday. And I can see about the shelter, maybe, but I walked around yesterday at Walmart, and I was like, I mean, you don't want anybody walking around with the machete, you know, and saying, let me cut some food off somewhere. But you don't want anybody going around blind somebody with their eyes cut off, not knowing what's going on, because it's obvious, like in the stock market miniature crash that we had a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was just a burp.
Well, yeah, they try to blame it. And then they try to do the brainwashing, like somebody had pressed the wrong button. Well, no, nobody pressed the wrong button. It was real. Well,
it was the plunge control team coming in to make sure that it doesn't collapse. And what the general public failed to realize is that we are bought up with derivatives. They're the corporations that buy derivatives that are worth trillions of dollars. So a company like Hewlett Packard can go in and buy $1 billion, take $1 billion and buy $1 trillion worth of derivatives. That's crazy. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy, but it's also, when you look at what makes a nation great is the industry, the manufacturing. We were the land of the Industrial Revolution. We made almost everything. We made it good.
Yeah.
We had quality control. We had managers that walked up and down the aisles of the factory to make things make sure things were made right. Now what happened? Almost we sold out our country to China. They make almost everything. And so how do we expect to exist as a country? You know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, when you're outsourcing everything, you're truly right. It's not going to
I mean, eventually people are really going to see what's really going on because the jobs, we're losing jobs by the millions. Detroit, once a great city, a beautiful city, beautiful cars. Remember the beautiful cars we used to buy for $2,000, $3,000? You know, that's over.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It's basically turning into like a ghost town over there.
Yes.
So it's very, very sad. So the church, the church has to step up and be the light of the world. And to show people God's love and to show people that we care. That's why we want to tear down this false gospel, tear it down, And hopefully these men and women will repent, and people will boycott these ministries and stop sending these people money, and take your money and use it for your family, and look for people in need. You know, there's nothing wrong with supporting your church, but you don't have to have your pastor going and banging you over the head for 10% every week. You give freely. You give what God tells you to give. And there's always been free will giving. There was free will giving in the Old Testament for support of the temple. So
yeah.
We just want people to realize, to start to wake up and listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide you in everything that you do. And, you know, we'll be fine. I mean, the church, the real church, and the people that are trusting God, we're going to get through this thing.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. This has been a great show. I'd like to have you come back on and really quickly to possibly get into prophecy a little bit more. God bless you so much, Susan.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil.
Yeah, this
thanks
will be,
a lot. God bless you too.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Continue your great work, and
you too.
God bless you richly.
Bye bye.
Bye.
That was Susan Pozio of Prophetic News. Great interview. I just I got so tied up in the interview, so awesome interview, that I looked at the time, it's like, oh, we got 3 minutes left. So, like, wow. But that was awesome interview. I'd like to thank World Harvest Radio for giving us the opportunity to come on. Once again, our website is The Prophecy Zone Radio .blogspot.com. So you get a chance, go check out our website. If you can, write us. We're going to have our address put up there pretty soon before this airs on World Harvest Radio North America. Just go and check it out. I'm not the most polished broadcaster. I don't pretend to be. I just do like Paul said. He says, I'm not the most great orator, but I do want to get the Bible preached. I want to get the word out. I want to get God's word out that we can begin to hear that word and hear that word be preached to the ends of the world for all witness to all. That God is soon to return. God is coming back soon. Check this out on the World Harvest Radio, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 9 a.m. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. That's a.m. p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on World Harvest Radio. You can go to their website and listen to the radio. And pretty soon we're going to have archives on my website, so check it out. God bless everybody. Y'all have a wonderful day.